Glad he touched me, aren't you? Glad he made me whole. If you wouldn't, your Bibles tonight, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We will finish the attributes of God between Thanksgiving and Christmas on Wednesday night. We'll have about two more messages on the attributes, maybe three. And then in January of next year, we'll finish up Philippians on Sunday night. And then we're going to preach. We're going to preach the Sermon on the Mount and go through the Sermon on the Mount on Sunday night. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And that will take us, we'll probably preach about 20 messages on that. And I'm looking forward to that. We're going to challenge the congregation during the Sermon on the Mount to do some reading as well as some memorizing. I know some of y'all love to memorize. And just do some challenging as we go through the Sermon on the Mount next year. I pray it'll be one of those we look back afterwards and just have really come a long ways in our spiritual life because of it. I'm looking forward to preaching it and studying it. And I've already done some preparation for it. And looking forward to preparing and memorizing it myself. I'll publicly say that I'll do that. And some of you may not be able to memorize the whole thing, but you can memorize a couple of verses in each chapter or pick out some of your favorite verses in those chapters and memorize those and pray and read through them several times. So we look forward to doing that next year. We got the theme picked out for next year finally, and we're ready to go. And I know we're already gearing up. Is that something? Gearing up for 2015. That's amazing, isn't it? Next Tuesday night, remember now, we don't meet next Wednesday night, we're going to meet next Tuesday night. We always meet the Tuesday night before Thanksgiving. Mark Gray will be with us, and he's going to sing a few songs for us. He's in the area, just going to have him sing five or six. There'll still be some good preaching next Wednesday night. Y'all know the pastor, there's been a preacher visit here several times. The amen's real loud. Some of y'all recognize him on Sunday morning. Some of y'all are shaking your head, you know who I'm talking about. He is, and I can't, for life of me right now, I'm not remembering his name, but he is was the founding pastor of out in El Paso, very famous church, and what is it? Hillcrest Baptist Church, and he's a famous pastor. He's been very well known throughout the country, and I didn't realize who he was, never said who he was, speaking of him being humble, and so he's 87. And he is going to be here Sunday and next Tuesday. We're going to have him preach in one of those services. And I want you to get to hear him. And it's one of those patriarchs of the faith. And if he's going to be here, we ought to let him preach. And so we look forward to hearing him. And again, it's bad. Brother Rand, you remember his name? Stewart, that's it. Bob Stewart. Yeah, so anyway. He is Miss Case's grandfather. So anyway. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Familiar passage. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in so much you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. I was really, even in my own life, taken and just really influenced by the messages last night. And I know we preach a lot on this, but I think sometimes we don't take it to heart as much as we may, that we need to. Realizing that the tribulations and things that we face in life, as Romans chapter 8 tells us, are there for our good. And it's hard for us to, you know, the Bible says be thankful in all things, and it's hard for us as Christians, and some of us have been saved in church a long time, and we get into those situations where things become rough and life sends us a curve, and we still wind up over in the ditch somewhere rather than staying on the road and relying upon the Lord. We still get to worrying, you know, and I love that little song I learned when I was a kid, "Why worry when you can pray, trust Jesus." You know, we have a hard time with that. We really do. We need to live abundantly through the trials of this life. We need to learn to live abundantly through the trials of life. Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, "In the world you shall have tribulation." But listen what he says, "Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And we say it every once in a while, but I've read the back of the book and we win. You know, and it's not just ending on a great note, but it's living an abundant life through those trials now. Relying upon the Lord, being of good cheer, being that testimony of those around us when we are going through life's trials and they watch us. And we must understand that. Let's pray real quick. Lord, we thank you, God. We need you tonight. We pray, Lord, that there's many here, all of us who are facing trials and tribulations. I pray, God, you'd help us, strengthen us, encourage us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All of us face trials and tribulations, and whether it's financial problems or employment or health or family, we all face trials. As we know, many of these trials, sometimes these trials are self-inflicted, right? I mean, you're the one that charged the credit card. You're the one that bought.
Amen.
You're the one that, anyway, I would encourage you, if you've charged on the credit card and you've got yourself in a bind, it's called a scissors, and you take the credit card and you do this to them. The little thing where you put them in, you know, in water and freeze them that's not the best way. Just cut them up. You'll be all right. And we sometimes get ourselves into our own problems. But I'm glad that whether we get ourselves into our own problems or those problems are created by outside influences, that God is still on the throne. And I love that He loves us no matter what. I like that He blesses us sometimes in spite of ourselves. Notice how I said that. I said sometimes in spite of ourselves. Not necessarily does it all the time. But understanding that He's there. Sometimes it's not self-inflicted. Sometimes we lose our job and we're fired because of other problems. Maybe just being laid off, or you know, having health problems and they fire you, or whatever the case is. Sometimes it's not self-inflicted. Some of the trials are the chastening of the Lord. Can I remind you of that? Hebrews says so. Hebrews says, "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." For a Christian to know what is right and not to do right, it is sin. It is sin. And when we sin, the Bible says, the Lord chastens us. When my kids did wrong as a kid and as a child, and still when they do wrong, I chastened them. When they were smaller, I applied the Board of Education, the seat of understanding. And so forth and so on. We chasten our children. Why? Because we're mad at them? No, because we love them.
Amen.
And we know what happens if you don't chasten them. They turn out to be hoodlums.
Amen.
Right? We got a plethora of those type of people today. I thought I'd add a new word in there for you tonight. We discipline our own children. And because we love them, and it does, it saddens us, especially when they were smaller. We'll say them, you know, say to them, "Hey, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you," and you guys know that in some sense that is absolutely true. It does hurt many times as we discipline our children. It hurts sometimes when we don't give them everything that they want. If you give them everything they want, that's called spoiling them. Help me out. So again, the Lord. Sometimes we go through trials, sometimes we face tribulation because He is chastening us. And I've always said, listen, when you're going through a trial, you should go to the Lord and ask, "Lord, why is this going on in my life?" Not why is this going on, but "Lord, tell me, help me, show me why I'm facing this trial, and Lord, shed light upon it. And Lord, if there's sin in my life," that statement should be made. "God, if this sin in my life, if this is a chastening of you, Lord, reveal to me that sin. And Lord, I want to get it right." And He will every time. He'll reveal it to you. So yes, that question ought to be asked. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Some trials come to obedient Christians as a way of testing and strengthening us. And we see this in the life of Job. And I'm not going to go through the life of Job tonight, but just we know that sometimes God is simply testing us. And through that testing, He strengthens us. He's tempering us. Making us strong, making us hard, tempering us. No one is exempt from trials. No one. And again, the TV evangelist can tell you all you want to that if you get saved, all your problems go away. But that's not what the Bible teaches. In this world, you shall have tribulation. Listen, I'm so glad that the Lord goes through, you know, through us with us through the trials. But we are going to have trials. We are, most of us are going to face financial problems from time to time. Most of us are going to face employment issues from time to time. Most of us are going to have health problems from time to time. And all of us are going to experience family problems from time to time. There's no doubt. You can't have a family and not have family problems. Don't look at me like that. You know it's true. We all are facing and do face trials. Three things tonight. Three things the Bible teaches concerning trials. Number one, the Bible warns us of trials. Again, Peter says here, think it not strange. Think it not strange. You see, the Jewish believers, they were suffering. The Jewish believers were going through trials. The Jewish believers were being persecuted. And I said this the other day to someone who was in my office. You know, sometimes we look at our problems and we think, man, we are going through it. But sometimes it'd be good for us just to look at outside of our own lives and say, you know what, my life's pretty, but look what's happening in theirs. I'm not saying by comparison. I'm just saying sometimes we only see, we got blinders on. We think we got it the worst. And most of the time it's not even close to what somebody else may be facing. I love what the preacher said last night. The Bible says, talks about that when the disciples went through the storm and they were in the ship there, and Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship sleeping on a pillow. But there were also other little ships with them. The other little ships faced the storm too. Yeah. Remember, when you're going through trial, don't the Bible says, such as is common to man. We all are facing difficulties. We all face the problems. I'm still amazed that when individuals come to my office, especially when I am counseling young marrieds, I'm still amazed at how many of them, 99% of them, are coming to me with the same problems. Same problems. Everyone, for the most part, faces the same difficulties. We are going to face problems. And I want to remind you again, in this particular scripture, they are facing persecution. They are facing death. They are facing the fire. They're facing the lions and the tigers. They're facing much more than we face. And he says, Peter says, don't think it strange when you suffer for Jesus' sake. Yea, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Again, people, we of faith sometimes suffer for our beliefs and for our faith. And as I've said from the pulpit the last few months, get ready, because there's going to come a day in this generation, in this group, my age group, there will be suffering for what we believe in. I'm talking about legitimate suffering. You say, no, preacher. I'm telling you. Unless revival happens in America, there will be persecution, physical persecution, in my lifetime. And I'm telling you, I'm told by those who know what's going on, which is the CLA and some of these other guys, it could be sooner than later. Maybe even the next 5 years. He said, no way, preacher. Look how far it's come in the last just 10 years. Preachers in Houston stand up and preach against homosexuality, and look what happens to them. They get subpoenaed by a court. Don't think it can't happen here. These Christians were facing persecution, and Peter was just reminding them, hey, don't think it's strange. Again, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Again, 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if you suffer, who shall also reign with him? If we deny him, he also will deny us. And we see over and over again, as these Christians of yesteryear, of the 1500s and 1600s, of the 1400s, as they faced being boiled in oil, being stretched, being skinned alive, being put in, you know, all sorts of things that our forefathers went through. And these, many of these Christians in Peter's time were facing. Secondly, the Bible tells us of the purpose of trials. Not only does it warn us that we will have trials, but the Bible tells us the purpose. One of the purposes is to stir us up. To stir us up. In Acts chapter 7, the Bible speaks of Stephen being stoned to death. And in Acts chapter 7, verse 60, the Bible says, "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." He died. Chapter 8, and verse 3, the Bible says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering in every house and healing men and women and committing them to prison." Not that shouldn't be healing there, but you know, grabbing them. "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere," what? "Preaching the word." What were the church of Jerusalem told to do? Jesus said they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And what were they doing? They weren't going anywhere. They were staying put. And so God used persecution in the early church to scatter them abroad, to get them out of there, to get them out of Jerusalem and get them out into the world preaching the gospel. He used persecution to stir them up. And I'm telling you, we'll see this. We see this in China even now. The underground church in China is bigger than you'll ever think it is. I have friends that have been over there. Even our missionaries talk about it. There are millions and millions of Christians in China. It's amazing how in persecution Christianity flourishes when it's stirred up. And how in the European groups and Americas now we see a decline in Christianity because there's nothing, we're not stirred up. In fact, most Christians, I was reading an article today about, you know, that most Christians haven't even witnessed to their neighbor. We need to be stirred up tonight. We need to quit being complacent and apathetic. We need to tell others of Jesus. Sometimes we face various problems in our life because God is trying to stir us up. We stir the pot so it don't burn, right? God's just stirring us up. And if you're facing something today, you ought to ask Him, "Well, why am I facing this? And Lord, help me." And maybe He's just stirring you up. Listen, God wants us to be faithful. I want to enter heaven one day and Him to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And sometimes in the ministry, maybe we haven't been the fastest growing or the fastest this or the most. But you know what? I think at the end of the day, we can step back and say, you know, we kept going forward for the Lord. And in trials and testings, we didn't give up as a church. Amen? But also as individuals, that we keep going forward. So trials sometimes are there to stir us up. Number two, trials are there to strengthen us. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, and though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And God uses trials to give strength. He strengthen us as gold in the fire to alleviate and get rid of the dross and get rid of the impurities in our life. As we think about a diamond in the rough and knocking the rough edges off. And God is using the various things in our life to strengthen us. Heard a message recently on the word temper, to temper us. And I'm not going to preach that tonight, but He's there to harden us. Trials are there to harden us, to strengthen us. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "But the God of all grace hereto hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." And that word, perfect you, means complete you. It means maturity, to mature you in your Christian faith. Sometimes we need to be stirred up. And God allows us to go through certain trials and certain problems in our life to stir us up, to remind us that we're weak and He is strong, to remind us that we need Him. Amen? We need Him. Everything we face, we need Him. To stir us up, to strengthen us. To strengthen us. There's a story told about a stagecoach driver who had a mom, and I've given this illustration before, it's been a long time, but Mother and baby was in the stagecoach. The stagecoach driver's up there driving. It was really, really cold. He kept noticing it was really cold, and he kept noticing the mother nodding off. And he was afraid that she might freeze to death. And so he stopped the stagecoach, and he took the baby, put it in his lap, and made the mother get out and took off. But what do you think the mother did? Mother ran after the stagecoach. She wanted her baby back. Wanted her baby back. And as he gave her a little bit of time, and as he thought she got warm enough, he stopped, let her back in. Sometimes God is just warming us up from our cold condition. You have to admit, all of us have to admit from time to time that we get cold, that we get indifferent, that we get complacent. I'm really good with words tonight. We'll say lethargic. Sometimes I can't get the synonyms to come, and You know, we get apathetic. And in the Christian life, by the way, Israel did the same thing. We see Israel over and over in their life, and the nation's life, up and down, up and down. We see the same things in our life, and we ought to recognize it. And we ought to say, Lord, and humble ourselves before Him, broken and contrite before Him. So, Lord, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And go to Him. Say, Lord, I know there's something here. Lord, show me. Stir us up and strengthen us to warm us back up from our cold, cold condition. Lastly, the Bible has also, not only does it show us the purpose and warns us of trials, but also gives us some promises during the trials. That is, number one, that God hears our prayers. Aren't you glad of that? 1 Peter chapter 5, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Psalm 34 says, thy righteous cry, and the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their trouble. Listen, you cry to the Lord, He will hear you, and He'll heal you every time. I'm glad the Lord hears my cry. Not only does He hear our cry, the psalmist says He delivers us. Psalm 37 verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Remember that He will deliver us. We can trust Him. You know, we started the year out talking about launching out into the deep. We preached several messages on trust, that we can trust God. And then we use the attributes of God to show how big God is, and that therefore we can trust Him. And can I just remind you tonight again that God will deliver you. God hears your cries and God will deliver you. And we can rely on that promise. He's promised to do it. We all face trials. We all face problems. You know, we face little trials in the beginning. Anybody ever been on a snipe hunt? Any of y'all ever have a big brother who said to you, hey, let's go on a snipe hunt? Yeah, let's go on a snipe hunt. My brother's 4 years older than me, remember? So he's 4 years older than me. He said, let's go. We're up at the farm in Duncan, Oklahoma, and on that 100 acres, and at that time it was 120 acres, and so let's go on a snipe hunt. And he got the burlap bags and the burlap sacks and the flashlights, and went out to the middle of that 100 acres or so, and said, "All right, you stay here. We'll flush them out to you." Way to go. He goes back into the trees, and they're yelling and screaming, and all of a sudden, brother's not around anymore. They went back to the house. You know, I'm like 6 or 7 or whatever, and I'm out there just crying like a little baby. That wasn't a very big trial. Impacted my little life, though. I didn't trust my brother for a long, long time after that. Still don't. Mean. But trials come and go. And as time goes on, as our faith grows, our trials get bigger. And God has continued to temper us in whatever else we face. And remember that God is sufficient. 1 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10, Paul besought the Lord 3 times to remove that thorn. He said in verse 9, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Can I just say to you, if you feel weak today, perhaps the Lord is preparing you for an injection of His strength. Because that's what we need. We need His power. We need His grace. We need His strength in the time of need. Let me just remind you again what grace is. Grace is more than just God's unmerited favor. I am thankful that when I got saved by grace through faith. In other words, God's unearned favor. But grace is more than that. It's divine influence acting in a person's life to make that person pure, morally strong. In other words, grace is not that which just saves us. Grace is that which is enables us to live the Christian life. It's grace that is virtue that's given to us by God. It's that divine enablement to see to and to be and to do those things which please Him. It's the grace of God that enables us to please Him. So if anything, it's the grace of God that strengthens us. It's when God pours down His grace upon us freely. You don't earn it. You don't earn it at salvation, and you don't earn it when you go through trials. He gives it freely to you and enables us to overcome those difficulties. My grace, He said, is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But what else does it say? It says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And it's grace. It is grace that brings us through those toils and snares and trials. It's the grace of God that we need. Remembering that God's promises are true. The last promise that we think about is that He said that if I go away, I will come again.
Amen.
He's gone away to prepare us a mansion. One day He will return. And Jesus is coming soon. I hope you're ready. Hope you're ready. Trials. He warns us of trials. He warns us that's going to happen. He reminds us there's a purpose for trials, the strengthening and stirring us. And we're so glad for the promises that we have through those trials, that He will hear our cry, that He will intervene, and that He will give us the strength that we need in the trial. Let's all stand.